Yo, 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 we are back. The Kickback Pod back, and I would say better than ever.
Bro, back bigger, brighter, more 4K HD than ever, man.
And you sound good, man. You sound great in headphones.
You sound really good too, man, because as you guys can see, we are at a new location, a professional studio setting. We've got the headphones, the mics, the Rodecaster Pro, which we just watched a 4-minute YouTube tutorial on. We are flying, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, you guys have been asking this for a while. You've been asking for video pods. And yeah, we found a studio pretty close by to us in Berlin. And yeah, like you said, watched a quick tutorial, set this up. And we are very, very excited to bring you guys one of the first live video pods of the Kickback Pod, and first of many, hopefully. So welcome, Fobs. Welcome to the Kickback Pod. Happy to be here with you.
Happy to be here too, man. How are you doing?
I've been doing good. It's been probably the nicest. Would you say this has been the nicest winter so far in Berlin in like years?
Define nice. Like,
okay, I define nice as like I can see the sun every day.
Yes.
And it's sunny.
Yes,
it's not gray.
We haven't had like 2, 3, 4 weeks of just grayness in a row. And we've had, so that's a good point. Like, we've seen the sun quite a lot. It's not been bitterly cold.
No.
For an extended period of time. We haven't had too much rain. And we've had some good snow too. Because I think a good winter needs to have good snow.
Yeah. And the snow came in November and then it just stopped. Mm-hmm. And it's just been like, at least I've been here for 7 years so far, and this has been my favorite winter. It barely felt like winter. It was like a long, extended spring. So I enjoyed that. But yesterday was officially the first day of spring. We've made it through winter. Actually, you know, my wife is having this convo with me today. Yesterday was also Persian New Year.
Yeah.
So they celebrate New Year officially on the first day of spring.
Uh-huh.
And we were thinking about, like, why doesn't everyone do that? Because think about it. Like, it's like you start the new year and you know it's going to be great. Like, the weather is going to be good.
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of like starting the new year with like something to look forward to. Like, summer's about to start. Spring's about to start. Like, wouldn't that be a better new year?
I mean, it makes sense. But also, if you look at it from a different perspective, the 22nd of April, 22nd of December is the winter solstice, right? That's when the days get longer. So technically, you could argue that from the 22nd of December onwards, that's when everything's going back up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get that.
You still have a lot of time where it's cold and shitty and wet and whatever. But I mean, I think the Persians are onto something, because Thai New Year is in April.
Yeah.
Chinese New Year is in February, right? So there's a lot of different lunar cultural calendars that do not celebrate New Year in January when it's super depressing.
Yeah, January is always the most depressing month of the year, right? Like, and why we got to start off the new year like that? We got to start off the new year with some energy.
To humble us, I think.
I know, let's start a poll, man. First Kickback Pod poll of the year is, when should New Year's be?
Pick one of 365 days. Tell us your favorite day for New Year's.
Well, dude, you've been having a good couple of weeks, right? Like, you're looking tanned, looking healthy. Tell us what you've been up to.
I have been on vacation. As you may have seen on my Instagram, I hit up a nice island lifestyle for a couple of weeks, Lanzarote, which is the very German way of pronouncing it. I don't know how to pronounce it in Spanish, but it's one of the Canary Islands.
I know how the Americans would say it.
Lanzarote?
Lanzarote.
Lanzarote. Sheesh, we're taking shots today. But it was super nice, man. Like, that Spanish kind of vibe culturally just is so enjoyable, you know, where everything's so easygoing, the food's amazing, you're sitting there looking out onto the beach, the sunsets, you know, and with a kid being at the beach is just so fun, because I was, you know, building the biggest sandcastles ever, like looking over to the other dads, getting really competitive. And as you said, spending a lot of time in the sun, which I think was much, much needed, like around mid to late Feb, just getting out of town and, you know, if you can, of course, hitting up the sun. So much recommended, yeah.
Dude, one thing's for sure, watching your stories around that time, your toes were having a great time.
Oh.
They were like liberated.
Yes, I was keeping them separated. The Nike Air Rift that I bought for that vacation. One of my favorite shoes. I'm actually very, very sad that I haven't been able to wear it in Berlin just yet because it's been too cold too, right?
Yeah.
Been wearing it without socks. And
have you seen the brown one that just came out? The suede one that literally looks like a camel toe.
The sand light brown one. Yeah. It does. So I like the dark brown one, the chocolatey dark brown one. There's two colorways. And I definitely want to get a pair, but maybe I'll wait until there's some more colorways coming. I know there's like a black mesh pair coming out as well. So it seems like the weather's getting better. Summer's coming around. Nike's pushing the Air Rift again. Let me just say, fantastic, fantastic shoe. Splitting your toes like that is just so liberating. As I said in my story, I felt, you know, faster, stronger, lighter, more active, more healthy, and just more stylish overall.
No, you made those look good. I can't lie. Because like when I saw that particular colorway too, the polka dots, I was like, I don't know how bro's going to pull it off, but but you did it, man.
You and everybody else was like, I don't know about these. Like my wife was like, you know, if you wear those, I'm not leaving the hotel room with you. Spoiler alert, she ended up leaving the hotel room with me because there was no other option. But I got a lot of like good comments on them. But then also I think a lot of people in the hotel were looking at me like, Who is this German guy? Like, have Germans evolved from the socks and sandals to like the split toe sandal? Who knows? Remains to be seen.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into listener of the week. So special shout out to this listener. His name is Maxime. So I was literally on a morning walk a couple of weeks ago and he just randomly approached me and he's like, hey, are you Josh? I'm like, yeah. And he said, dude, I was just listening to your episode of talking about the basketball sneakers on your last episode. And like, dude, it's so cool to see you in person. And I was like, no way, man. It's a Kickback Pod listener, like in person. So
that's so cool.
Yeah. He just happens to be actually living in my neighborhood too. So I'm like, dude, like, that's amazing. I hope we bump into each other again. So shout out to you, Maxime, for listening into the pod and for just randomly approaching me and saying hi, man. That was pretty cool.
Shout out, Maxime, man. I mean, let's see if he bumps into me at some point as well.
Yeah. He'll recognize you for sure. All right. So we are getting to springtime. We know one of the shoes you've been rocking. It's been the Air Rift.
Yes.
What else has been on your feet lately?
I've been wearing the suede gel 1130s.
Actually, wait. What do you have on feet right now?
That is what I have on my feet right now. Okay, so the gel 1130s have been kind of my go-to shoe since I've come back just because they're super comfortable. I actually put in a new insole, which makes them even more comfortable. It's like a little bit thicker. What else have I been wearing? I wore my Kiko A6 as well. The ones that, I forgot what they're called, but the ones that have like that crazy like exposed gel sole.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
That look a little bit like the gel Kinzei. I've been wearing a lot of A6 recently, actually. I've got the other Kikos that I have, those pink and green ones I've been wearing quite a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Going to the office. Just taking advantage of the sunshine, you know, and the lack of puddles and spray that you get from passing cars in Berlin sometimes. So a lot of A6, a lot of comfortable shoes, man. What about you?
Fire. Nah, I've been, right now on feet, I have the size collab with Adidas last year that they did on the Gazelles, which was kind of like a Gucci knockoff. I actually today switched my Gucci laces from my pink pair to the blue one. So it actually really does look like a pair of Gucci Gazelles right now. It's also got the velvet material. So big, big fan of those. And also lately I've been wearing my Hidden New York Gel Venture 6. Damn, those shoes are so comfy. Like they don't talk about the Gel Venture 6 too much when it comes to like the most comfy A6, but it is a super, super comfy shoe. And it's got that protection to the mud guard, which is great, for the sprays, like you mentioned, in Berlin. I've been wearing that a lot, super comfy. And also wanted to give a shout out to a brand, Kreikel Cage. Been rocking some of their footwear lately as well. They have this pair of like mountain derby lows, which are like suede, and they kind of look like hiking shoes, but they're not. They're more like a low top derby style, which is kind of unique. And I've been wearing that, really like outrageous laces too that it comes with, these bright pink laces. So good for the spring. and they also sent me another pair, which was this, it kind of looks like the T90. It's like, it's pretty much, I would say, like a Nike T90 without the Nike branding on it. And it's pretty, very nice materials as well. Black and white colorway, easy to rock. So those have been kind of what's in my rotation lately. And I did drop a video too recently talking about my spring sneaker rotation. So guys, make sure you check that out. And we definitely have some very exciting pickups to get into. We got them over here. So you tell me first though, what have you picked up lately?
So of course, being the noob that I am, I didn't bring my pickup with me, but I got a pair of the Haribo Crocs.
Haribo Crocs? Yeah. Wait, I might have missed this release.
Fire, bro. Straight fire. Super yummy collab. No, disclaimer, they're not for me. They are actually for my dad. And it happens to be his birthday, actually, today. Happy birthday, Stefan. Shout out, dad. Now, he turns 65 today. So he's officially... He's not retired, but he's in retirement age, which I like to, you know.
Is that the retirement age in Germany, 65?
65, but I think they're talking about putting it up to 67.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah. Okay. It's the same in Canada.
Yeah, so he's officially a retiree, even though he's still working. And he is the king of Haribo in Thailand because his business is he imports German products, and it all started with Haribo. He started importing Haribo. And then it just took off, and now he's got like over 1,000 different products, importing them into Thailand from Germany.
No way. So he had to get these.
He's the Haribo king. And so he's coming to visit in May, and so I got him a pair now so that when he comes, I can give them to him. So hoping he rocks them. I don't know if he will rock them. He is a big Crocs guy, but more of like a very plain, like low-key. And maybe we can put like an image of the shoe over the video, but... These are not low-key at all.
No, bro. He needs these. He needs these. And then he needs to, like, this needs to become, like, a thing on his, like, account on TikTok or something, you know, like, and call himself, like, the king of Haribo.
Haribo, yeah. Haribo king of Thailand. And
yeah,
just,
yeah.
Like,
just walk around in these.
Yeah, the gibbets are pretty nice.
Yeah, the gibbets are sick, actually, yeah.
But, yeah, that's been, I mean, and then apart from the Air Rifts, that's been my only real pickup. But I know you have a couple that you actually brought with you, so we're going to share these on camera. But let's unbox the first one. What are we looking at right now?
You guys know, you can already recognize by the box what this is. So let me get these laces out the way.
Well, we can do some like ASMR a little bit.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. Check that out. Yeah, it comes in like a... So I was told that this packaging... You guys know what this is, by the way. This is the Nigel Sylvester Brick by Brick. And I was told this packaging here with the plastic and the little like blue tag on it, blue like rope thing on it. This is supposed to represent like how bricks are packaged, actually. Like that's how they come in like these kind of bags.
Proper real bricks.
Like proper real bricks. Right. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So a lot of storytelling. I know people were really highlighting how good the storytelling was on this collab.
Yeah.
And yeah, definitely down to the box. The box too, like if you feel it, like just start filling up the box, like
yeah. Even the Air Jordan 4 RM that he did, the Grandma's Driveway, yeah, and stuff like that. It had a similar like touch to the box as well. So
right.
He's put a lot of effort into it. Were there stickers as part of this? Because there were stickers in the other 4 RM.
No,
as well.
not in these. In these, it didn't come with any stickers. But clearly, so the inspiration from this shoe, this colorway, comes from like the red brick buildings in New York. So here, have a look.
They are so much better in person. Holy.
With the white laces, what do you think about the white laces?
The white laces, the contrast laces, so nice. Man, I'm regretting not trying for these. I mean, I totally forgot they were dropping as well, but.
Materials are sick too, right?
Oh, these are so nice. The mud guard is like this kind of. What is it like?
That's supposed to represent a brick too, like what a brick feels like.
It's like a textured kind of, probably some sort of like, I don't know if it's leather or nubuck or whatever, but it's like this textured material. Then you've got the nice little, what I love about Nigel is the mini swoosh that he puts on the toe box.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
The bike air on the back, man. Oh, these are so nice.
People were saying that the mini swoosh ruins it for them. And I don't get it. It's like, this is what makes it a Nigel collab. He's done that on every one of his shoes, right?
And how do you not like a mini swoosh?
Yeah, that too.
You know what I mean?
That too, yeah.
Like mini swoosh, like they add a nice little dynamic to the shoe.
No, I'm 100% with you because the mini swoosh too, it's his signature. It's like saying, you know, you don't like the Travis because of the reverse swoosh, you know? Like,
yeah, right.
That's what I feel like. He's put this on every one of his collabs. And yeah, I think it's honestly, in person, a lot better, especially the materials. Materials are super soft.
The color,
soft.
Too, man, because it's not like, it's not that like bright orange that it looked like in some of the pictures where, you know, when you have like an all red, all blue, all orange, all yellow shoe, it's sometimes like the Thunder Force, for example, right?
Yeah.
And the Lightning Force, like wearing those, oh, it's almost like it's a bit like too much, but this is like, it's a muted orange, you know?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So actually in the studio, in this lighting right now, it does look kind of orange, but I highlighted also in my video that when you look at the shoe in natural light, that's when it looks way more red actually than orange. And I actually like the color. I like that color a lot more actually, how it looks like in the natural light. And definitely with the white laces, I feel like it takes it to another level. But, you know, a lot of people have already called this shoe of the year, though. Do you think this is the sneaker of the year?
I was just thinking this is like it's a future classic. I don't know if it's a shoe of the year contender for 2025. I would say this is a shoe that, like, in 3 to 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, you're going to look back and be like, wow, people liked this shoe, but it was still underrated, you know? It's gonna grow on a lot of people. I don't know if it's shoe of the year though.
Honestly, I think that's a very good take actually, because because like right now when I'm looking at it, I love the storytelling and the packaging and everything. But if you just look at the shoe on its own, right? Like it's not like something that's, you know, groundbreaking in terms of design. Like, okay, they've got the Bike Air on the back and you got a mini swoosh. But besides that, I mean, it is like it's the Jordan 4 in a red colorway. And also like a shoe this bright, like a colorway this bright, maybe in 2015, I would have maybe rocked a shoe like this. Like this, I'm kind of like uncomfortable maybe even wearing this, something like this right now.
Yeah.
So that's why for me, it's a bit too quick, I think, to call this sneaker of the year. And also there's some other, you know, very interesting pairs of Jordans coming later on this year, like the Undefeated 4s, which I know is mainly just a retro, but still like... I don't know about sneaker of the year. I'm going to for now say no, just because it's not like blowing me away. But it's a lot better in person than...
it's super nice.
For sure, for sure.
What about the second pair that you brought here?
Yeah. You guys can probably recognize the box as well. So first of all, I have to say, oh man, I just realized there's some damage on the box. So first of all, I wanted to say big shout out to my sneakers account. Because my account right now...
you have been hot on a streak.
I don't even know what's going on. My account right now just cannot lose. And it's this one particular account, which is like my main account, which just never wins, never gets exclusive access or anything. And this year, it's gotten a W on every single release. So I don't know what's going on. So managed to cop the Union Jordan 1s. Is there a special name for this? It's called like Shadow Chicago. Yeah. So yeah, this is the third colorway of the Union and Jordan 1, I guess, partnership. And yeah, I mean, very, very nice, of course, very classic colorway. And the thing about the shoe though, like it didn't like, you know, do anything for me just because it looks so familiar, especially because I've been wearing the Lost and Founds now for 2.5 years or so, and it's just like I see this and I'm just like, okay, it's pretty much, especially when you hold it side by side, I'm like, it's pretty much the same shoe, like honestly.
Yeah,
definitely I would say the materials, they've always given us very good leather on the shoe. Here, have a look. They've always given us really good leather on that shoe with some of the other Union collabs as well. So for that, I would say the materials on this pair are better, but I would still personally have the Lost and Founds over this, just because, I don't know, I've never been a huge fan of any of the Union collabs in the past, just because of the mismatch. Some people love it. I've not been a huge fan of it. And some people have even told me that with this pair, they would keep the Unions and keep the Lost and Founds, just maybe wear the different laces that this pair comes with, like specifically those yellow laces.
Yeah.
But like, dude, have you seen what the shoe looks like with the yellow laces on?
McDonald's, bro.
Exactly, man.
It's McDonald's.
Bro, it looks like the Ronald McDonald ones. It does not look good with the yellow laces.
You can't put the yellow laces in it. No, it's a very nice shoe. I think the shadow gray and the Chicago goes quite well together because the shadow is very neutral, you know? I mean, you all know my opinions on the Chicago itself. It's grown on me over the last few years, but it's definitely like, I just can't get that like clown shoe out of my head, you know, that picture of the clown shoe. But that being said, yeah, very, very nice shoe. And Jordan Brand is on a bit of a roll this year, I would say.
They're definitely listening to what the fans want, right? Like they brought back, actually, well, this is more of a Nike topic, but they brought back the Foamposite Galaxies, mm-hmm. which was a classic. The Unions with another colorway, the Nigels. What was the other one? They had the bread to, Black Toes.
Yeah.
Then the bread 85s as well. So it's been a pretty good year for them. We actually didn't even talk about what the topic of today's episode was going to be. So we're actually going to be getting into now our Q1, because we are coming towards the end of March now. We're going to be doing like a Q1 sneaker brand power ranking. Just kind of ranking all the brands based on how good of a year they've had so far in the first quarter. Based on their releases, based on, I guess, the vibe around these brands right now, what where they're standing based on just, I guess, their popularity, both from their collabs and from their inline releases as well. And yeah, you put the initial list together and I looked at them and I'm like, yeah, I actually don't have any changes. I'm 100% agreeing with you here with the way we've been doing the rankings. So we're going to give you guys currently our sneaker brand brand rankings, our top five, and also tell you which sneaker brands have maybe missed the mark so far this year. And of course, as usual, we'd like to get your opinions. So leave a comment. This will be on YouTube, so you can leave a comment on YouTube or also leave a comment on Spotify. You guys can do that now.
Yes.
So yeah, very excited to get into this topic. Do you want to kick us off with brand at number five?
Let's kick it off. And just to preface this, yeah, so this is Q1 power rankings. We're most likely going to be doing power rankings throughout the year, finishing obviously with our, you know, top 10 shoes of the year 2025 in December. And we're going to try and have some sort of continuity between the episodes, meaning that, you know, whatever brand is on five now, if it changes for the next episode, we'll obviously take that into account and go a little bit deeper there. But as we said, this is the first one of 2025. Kicking us off at number five is probably the biggest brand in the world when it comes to sneakers, when it comes to sportswear, Nike, the swoosh. And I'm just going to give like a little blurb and then, you know, I'll hand it over to you, Josh. I think Nike has done enough to get into the top five this year, right? They've had quite a lot of big releases. They've had a little bit of energy here and there, as you said, with the Foamposites, with the new, what is it? The Flight GT that Wale unveiled. Yeah. Then they've got, you know, their regular generally Vomeros and other shoes there. They've got a few really cool collaborations with Cortez, Rules the World, with Ama Manier. You know, they had the Supreme Nike Air Max 1 most recently, the Nike Air Pegasus Premium, which was really cool, and that you can talk about a little bit because you actually have that shoe, and I know you did a review on it. They brought back the Total 93, mm-hmm. which you talked about earlier as well. And which I've talked about on Instagram, love that shoe. I'm still waiting for that blue and white colorway that I used to rock as a kid before I buy one.
Okay.
Because the colorways recently have been very, very good, but they're releasing more and more. So I'm still waiting for that like one like childhood colorway before I pick them up. But no, I mean, long story short, Nike has done a lot this year. We have talked a lot about Nike's struggles over the last year and a half to 2 years, right? And it seems like they are on the up, but not quite top three, top two, top one material just yet, which is why we have them at five. What do you think?
Yeah, yeah. And definitely, I don't know if you watched their or heard about their last earnings release. It was another really disappointing earnings release. The stock has now dropped to its lowest point it's been in years, in probably like a decade by now. So like the stock is not doing well. Company is definitely getting all the negative feedback right now, but I do agree with you. I think they've had a very solid quarter. We've already mentioned some of the major releases that happened. What I found interesting is like their strategy though, when it comes to like the amount of stock, like the allocation, they seem to have kind of gotten back to their old methods, which is like have these very ultra limited releases, right? Like with the Galaxy Foams, mm-hmm. less than 20,000 pairs, I think. And we'll talk about Jordan Brand a little bit later as well. But that seems to be their heavy focus. But the reason we don't maybe have them higher up on the list is because I still think maybe some of their heavy hitters that I think would move them up higher are going to come later in the year. Like you mentioned, the GT Future, I believe it's called.
GT Future, yeah.
GT Future, like, because we've been waiting to see something new from Nike that really kind of pushes them, pushes the envelope. And their, I guess, new It sneaker that they were trying to push was that DN8, I think, the Air Max DN8.
Oh, terrible shoe.
Yeah, that's, I mean, everyone, like, the consensus is that that's just a very ugly shoe, right?
It's so bad. I saw, like, on Instagram, there were these accounts that were trying to make it cool by saying, like, ooh, the Australian soccer team, the national team is wearing, like,
I saw that.
Australian exclusive ones. And they were, like, this, like, slime green, you know, because the Socceroos wear a green jersey. But... man, there's just such a, like, even if the colorway was all right, they're such a bad shoe.
Yeah, there's nothing good to really say about that one. Last year they tried to do something similar with the I already forgot what those were called.
The Dynamic Airs,
the Air Max Dynamic. Yeah. I think they've had some good releases though. Their Air Max Muse, I think it was called, that dropped as a female only shoe. But it has actually been quite a hit. They've been selling out, especially with the women. We've seen a lot of them rock it with some like street style outfits. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a good one. But I think their best shoe that they had, so far this year, best new sneaker was the Air Pegasus Premium, because it really, and I talked about this in my review too, it kind of gave me that nostalgic feeling again about Nikes, because it looked like a sneaker from the 90s. It had that, Air Max 97, kind of Air Max 98 type of look.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the tech is really what took it to another level, because you had Nike React, you had Nike Zoom Air, and you had, what was the last one? I'm blanking right now. But there was three, it was pretty much like a Nike tech sandwich on that shoe, and it felt great on feet. So super, super comfy shoe, and it looks like a retro model. And I think, like, that's exactly what Nike needs to put out. They need to put out these sneakers that are a hit, like, with everyone, because everyone loves the look of the older 90s. But with that, like, much better tech, much more comfy sneaker, mm-hmm. because let's be honest, Air Max 1s and Air Max 97s, not the most comfortable shoe.
Yeah, and I think what really helped that shoe was it wasn't trying to be a new version of an old shoe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they've often done, like, oh, here's the Nike Air Max 97 remastered, or like the Nike Air Max 1 Lunar Lawn,
exactly.
Air Max 90, whatever, which, you know, to a certain extent here and there worked, but it came across as a bit of a gimmick, like, mm-hmm. ooh, let's take a super popular shoe and throw some new tech on it. Whereas this one, like you said, it has that feel of the 97, the 98, but it's a Pegasus.
Yep.
It's a Nike Air Pegasus. I think it's technically also a performance shoe.
Yeah, it's a running shoe. It's a performance shoe.
It's a running shoe. I've seen reviews that it's not the best running shoe because it's very heavy.
It's a bit, yeah, because it's like 11 ounces, I think.
Yeah.
And most running shoes, the good ones, are 10 and below.
Yeah. So it's a little bit heavy, but it's a beautiful looking shoe, you know?
Yeah, and, for sure.
Like you said, it's got the right balance between like new tech, kind of like this retro visuals without it being a shoe that already exists.
Yeah, no, I think that's, Nike just needs to put more of that. This shoe has been a hit because every colorway has been like instant sellout so far. So they just need to capture some of that sauce with building models like that. And I think they'll be on the right path. But yeah, I mean, like, maybe if we did these rankings like last year, they wouldn't make the top five, but they're on their way up. I think they got the right idea.
Yeah, no, for sure. Great shoe, I think. The only thing I didn't like was, and I told you this on Instagram, right, was the Air branding on the inside.
Yeah, man, too much.
It's too big. It didn't need to be there. Like, just have a swoosh on the outside, and then you're good to go. But that being said, this is a shoe that, like, 2014, 2015, 2016 FOBS would have been all over.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I would have been hitting up the local Nike town or in New York or whatever and trying to grab it. Super good. This is the, like you said, these are the general shoes that they should be putting out.
Yeah.
And which we hope they will be.
The T92 special mention, I think, has been a huge hit for them too. It's perfect with today's like preference for low profile shoes. And Nike didn't really have one that, let's call like the Gen Zs, wasn't really gravitating to. They pretty much just had the kill shots, but that wasn't like a huge hit. But the T90 so far, we've seen a lot of colorways sell out. And they seem to be putting out a lot more colorways too. Hopefully your blue one will eventually drop.
Oh.
But yeah, that's Nike at number 5. So at number 4, we have Adidas. So Adidas, arguably, they've been on top of the sneaker world now for the last couple of years. And you actually made the really good point a few episodes ago that they sort of lucked into that. People were writing them off when they lost Yeezy. That, yeah, people, Adidas has only been on top because of Yeezy. People were saying that. But they kind of really rode that low-profile sneaker trend over the last few years. And we've seen their models like the Sambas, the Specials, the Superstars. They've become super, super popular. They've kind of become like default shoes over here, especially in Berlin. So they're still riding that wave right now with the Sambas and Specials. And I think that's been enough for them right now to still be in the top 5. But as we know, with all sneaker trends, they kind of come and go. Like, so low profiles are popular right now, but who knows, maybe chunky sneakers will come back again. And the only new lifestyle model I've seen them put out so far is that really chunky Superstar, yep, which was like a Pharrell collab, I think. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about the Jellyfish. That one is coming out later this year, and a lot of people were excited about that one. Me too. Yeah, I think they can, if they're not careful, I feel like this wave might pass, and then they might be stuck again. But there has been also some good releases, though, by them, because we got to look into what they're doing on the basketball side.
True.
Of course, like the AE1s have been a huge hit, as usual. We've been saying that now for the last year. It's been maybe the best basketball sneaker. There was like a sneak preview of what the AE2s possibly look like. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw one, but then people were saying that it was like a very, very early sample. So I don't know which leak you're talking about.
I'm talking about the leak of, like, it looked like there was a pizza slice on the shoe. Like, there's like a weird, like, triangle, like, wedge on top of the sneaker.
You mean like on the, like, outside?
Yeah, like outside on the toe. It looks like there's like a big pizza slice on it.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it now. I mean, it does look like a pizza slice. I would say that I'm looking at a different angle right now on Google Images, and it really depends on where you're looking at it from. So I would say that depending on how Adidas plays with the contrast and everything else, then it really depends on that and how it'll look and how people will be perceiving it. But it's always difficult to follow up such a hit on the first shoe with the second shoe. What I'll say is Adidas is probably at the most danger of falling out of the top 5 of all of our brands, just because they've been so in on the Gazelle, the Spezial, the Samba, Wales, Bonner, etc. And they've been riding that high really, really well, and they've put out some really nice shoes. But what do they do when the winds change, right? And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon, but who knows what happens in a year from now, in a year and a half, or even in 2 years, right? I guess that's the name of the game, though. There's brands that are at the top, then they're not at the top anymore. Other brands replace them. But putting Adidas at 4 does kind of show how they've slipped recently.
You know? Yeah, I don't even know if it's so much that they've slipped. It's just that I feel like also other competitors now are catching up, and everyone's kind of taking advantage of the low profile trend right now, right? Like Nike's putting out the T90s. We're going to talk about some other brands a little bit later. But I feel like they need some kind of momentum, more momentum, new momentum maybe on the lifestyle side for them to like continue staying, I would say, in the top 5.
Yeah, you mentioned like the Pharrell Jellyfish, Song for the Mute. It was a very nice collab.
Oh, yeah,
as well.
That was really nice.
They've got the Taekwondos, which, you know, is a different kind of shoe, but still very slim, low profile. So they've got stuff coming, but they do need to maybe make a bit more of a splash, to me at least, to end up in the top 3 at some point this year.
Yeah, definitely.
Moving on to the aforementioned top 3, starting with the third placed brand in our ranking, New Balance. We are going to New England, to Boston, to Massachusetts. And New Balance, I would say, considering that maybe 2 years ago, 2 and 3 years ago, they were the top brand in the world in most people's power rankings, they've been pretty quiet, you know, relative to that, right? But I do think, and that's why we have them at 3, they have done more than Nike. They have done more than Adidas. I think one of their biggest hits has been the Loafer 1906R. mm-hmm. right? A pair that you have.
And 1906 L.
L. Sorry, yep. L for loafer, of course. Really doing some nice bits there, adding some leather to it. You've got the Junior Watanabe version. And just really putting together kind of this like loafer vibe with the 1906 R like full-on tech runner vibe. So that's been really, really good. They've got some really nice collaborations as well. The Kith Osaka 992s.
People have been excited about the 992s kind of coming back this year, right?
Yes, super nice shoe. The 991 V2 as well, another one there. Mm-hmm. I think they've done a couple of like more generic collaborations on their 990 V6 as well.
Yeah.
They had a ballerina version, like a strap sandal version of the 990, I think, which was
really okay. I haven't seen those.
I saw it on Hypebeast the other day. Kind of going into that like ballerina trend that all sneaker brands are going into. The Joe Fresh Goods 992s that you have, right? Mm-hmm. What are they called again? Like,
they're, oh my God, I forget the name. Oh, it's, Aged Well.
I was going to say like better with, yeah. Aged Well. And they really do look nice. They've got like a nice, like aged patina on them. And then one shoe that I'm actually very, very excited about is the Allerdale.
Yeah, me too.
Which is that leather kind of no real big branding, relatively expensive too. Super nice shoe.
250, yeah. 250 is a lot.
It's made in the UK, I believe, mm-hmm. right? At their Flimby factory. It's got, for sportswear standards, relatively high quality leather as well. And again, no frills, no huge branding, just a small New Balance branding on the side, and very, very dad shoey, but in like the best kind of way, you know?
I think that shoe is, it's almost like so perfect for the time we're in right now, mm-hmm. because like people have been kind of, you know, trying to find these more anti-sneaker type of shoes, right? And they already had success with the 1906 L. And this Allerdale to me is like really a perfect example of exactly that. It looks like a dress shoe sneaker combo. It looks like something you can wear to the office. And what I read about the high price tag, it's not just because it was made in the UK. It's also because it features the best tech that they have, which is the fuel cell technology, which they put in the 990 V6. The fuel cell, which I swear by, like it's my daily beater, the 990 V6. They have the same fuel cell in the Allerdale. So that's super promising to me, right? Like a dressier shoe with the best cushioning right now for me. So I'm very excited to get them. And I saw, I don't know if this is like an Aimé Leon d'Or collab, but today there was a Outlander magazine posted a picture of like a white version of that shoe, which I think like has a lot of potential. Leather looks great. And if it's got the nice comfort as well, I feel like that shoe, like New Balance really has their finger on the pulse right now, I feel like, in terms of what people are looking for in sneakers. And they were able to pivot to these more less sneaker looking shoes really well. And I feel like the only reason we have them at three is not necessarily because they've had a bad quarter. It's just that some other brands right now have a bit more momentum behind them. But New Balance, I think, solidly, like, don't change anything. Keep doing your thing. It's better to be like steady, you know, instead of, you know, trying to ride waves every time. And New Balance is as steady as it comes.
Yeah, for sure. I would say that this is the first brand in our ranking where I'd say that, as you put it, they've done nothing wrong. They've stayed in their lane. They're consistently putting out good product with cool collaborators, with niche niche communities. Whereas maybe Nike and Adidas were a bit like, you'd expect them to be higher, mm-hmm. right? You'd expect them to be doing a little bit better. They're slipping a little bit. They still have enough time and still have enough heat that is being projected for the rest of 2025 to climb up the rankings. Whereas New Balance, they're doing well. They're in the top three. They're doing very, very well. It's just that the top two have done a little bit better, have made a bigger splash, as you say. And then on that note, I mean, let's go into the top two. Take us away.
So at number two, we have Jordan Brand. Yes. Jordan Brand has had a very, very big quarter, I would say, compared to their last few quarters. They've been putting out releases that, if you watch resale prices, you keep track of secondary markets, they've been really, really coveted. The Nigels and the Unions, which I just showed you guys, the Bread 85s, also the Black Toe Reimagine, even though those didn't do so well on the resale market, but it was a really, really nice shoe. Materials were great, and people were just very happy, of course, to see such a classic colorway come back. So Jordan Brand, I think they will forever be, you know, like a retro brand, because people aren't really looking for, you know, new models from Jordan Brand. But, I, the brand kind of, you know, acknowledges that. And at least what they've been trying to do this year is give people what they want. Of course, they could, you know, give them in bigger quantities, so people would, you know, stop complaining about these sneakers being so limited. Yes, they could do that. But I think that they have a lot of good momentum right now. They're putting out, they're giving us colorways that people wanted in the first place. They're giving us collabs that we want, like the Unions. We have the upcoming Undefeated Fours, which for me has always been a grail. So I'm so excited to get those. I really, really hope I get a W on those. And we also had the SB Fours that people were, I saw some videos of people lining up around the block at some skate shops for this shoe. People are very, very hyped on it. So I feel like Jordan Brand, it seems to me that they were clearly listening to their target group. The target group asked for, you know, bring me back the colorways that I actually want. I don't want the 26 different Jordan 1 non-OG colorway release, which is what they've been kind of leaning on the last few years. I feel like Jordan Brand has now, they've gotten, we see a lot fewer Jordan 1s being released. Instead, the ones that are actually getting released are those colorways that people really, really want. We also have the Jordan 1 shattered backboards coming later this year. People are hyped on that. So, yeah, I mean, they are leaning into what their customers want, which I think is giving them a lot of momentum right now. And there's just a lot of good collabs coming. And if you look at pretty much all of the sneaker blogs out there, I feel like Jordan is kind of dominating all the headlines right now. So, yeah, I mean, I think it may be too early to say they're all the way back, but they're definitely one of the most highest momentum brands right now. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. The Air Jordan 1 is back, and they're being a lot more selective with, you know, who they're letting collaborate on it, what kind of colorways they're bringing out, how strictly they also stick to kind of the OG retro colorways as well. The Black Toe Reimagined, right, being a nice reimagined version of the Black Toe. Then you've got the Shadow Chicago's, as we talked about earlier. Air Jordan 4 is still flying. The Air Jordan 4 RM is actually a decent shoe. I think it's, you know, it's not selling out every single colorway, but I think people are, you know, definitely feeling it to a certain extent. It's not like a Flight Jordan, which nobody likes.
Yeah, exactly.
and this is it. This is a point I wanted to make earlier, but I wanted to wait before we tell you guys that Jordan Brand is on spot two. Nike and Jordan Brand obviously are technically one brand, right? Jordan Brand belongs to Nike. Mm-hmm. And I think if we saw them both together, Nike would be rated a lot higher in this ranking. But I think just for all intents and purposes, because they have such different products and it is so easy to split them, we have split them for this ranking. Yeah, I am very, very excited about Jordan Brand. I think that Jordan Brand also benefits from having pretty much an anniversary every single year.
Yeah.
Jordan 1, Jordan 2, Jordan 3. I mean, they right. came out year after year. So obviously every single year you're going to have the 35th anniversary of this and then the 25th of this and the 37th of this. And you know what I mean? So it's very, very easy, I think, for Jordan Brand to create a narrative around their products mm-hmm. and to create hype. As long as they're sticking to the basics, as long as they're sticking to those shoes that people want, mm-hmm. as long as they are bringing the colorways out that people want and not going too crazy. And, you know, because Jordan Brand does have the propensity to be like, oh, Jordan scored a backwards layup in this one yeah. game in high school. And so this is the colorway that represents that, you know, stay authentic to the storytelling, to the product, to Michael Jordan and his legacy, right? And heritage as a basketball player and just phenomenal athlete. And then Jordan Brand will be all right. I think Jordan Brand will always have demand, right?
Yep.
People will always want the OGs and they will always want the collaborations if they're done well. And at the moment, they are doing them very, very well. So Yeah, Jordan Brand, very, very, very well-deserved second spot on our power ranking, in my opinion.
I can't say I expected this brand to be number one in terms of momentum right now, but take it away, man. What is the number one sneaker brand right now in 2025?
I mean, the fastest brand out there, man, Puma. The other brand from Herzogenaurach in Germany.
I can't say that even if I try.
Herzogenaurach, yeah, say that five times fast.
Herzogenaurach. Herzogenaurach.
Yeah, that was very close. Okay. That was very, very close.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, those of you who follow us individually, the podcast, follow any of the blogs, you will know that Puma has been having a very, very hot 9 to 12 months. The Mostro has been doing really, really well, but most of all, the Speedcat has been propping up this brand. And it is, you know, luck in a certain way because low-profile shoes, slim shoes are doing really, really well, similar to Adidas with the Samba. But it is also very, very clever marketing. I think that Puma 5 years ago would not have been able to take advantage of this hype, even though they have the catalog and the assortment to do so. But whatever they're doing there in their headquarters in terms of marketing, storytelling, it's working. They're partnering with the right types of partners, such as Hard Copy for Fashion Week. They are attending the right events, such as Fashion Week. They are doing cool things that people want to be a part of. Skepta is pushing Puma like crazy, and his little sub-brand collection, capsule, whatever, flying off the shelves. People really want to be a part of that. Puma Fenty, the Avanti Fenty as well. There's a lot of good stuff coming out Puma Stables. There's also still a lot of like whack stuff, but every brand has their like generic mainstream shoes that, you know, aren't cool.
Yeah.
The thing is, Puma is doing really, really well with the stuff that is doing well. And it's wild. Like at my job, right? Like I work at Zalando. We're a multi-brand retailer. The Speedcats are flying off the shelves. Like we have them in 15 different colorways. You were recently talking, I saw you on TikTok. I don't know how recent it is, but the shoes that you bought for your wife, one of them being the Speedcat in that nice gray colorway.
Yeah. The brown colorway. Yeah.
Brown colorway. Super, super nice shoe. A shoe that I grew up wearing as well. And yeah, man, I mean, Puma's on it. And I think had you asked me 2 years ago, I'd have been like, nah, you're tripping. But It feels right in this moment, you know?
Yeah, and I just feel like I just see Puma everywhere now. And I don't just mean on the streets. I mean like on my feed. If I'm looking for, like you said, Fashion Week, I felt like they were the sneaker brand that dominated Fashion Week.
They had the coolest events. People wanted to be there.
They had the coolest events, exactly. They had the amazing, not booth, but they had like a whole like setup there, right? Like we're showing like their entire archive.
Yeah, they brought their archive to Paris, which is so cool. They've been so transparent. I think one thing that Puma has done really well is they've been so transparent with the media, with creatives, with people in the industry. They've invited so many people to their archives to take a look at their shoes. Adidas does so to a certain extent as well, but Puma's just been like, yo, anyone who fucks with us, come to the archives, check out our stuff. And they have really cool stuff, you know. And so when you connect to people on a product basis, like consumers, that's one thing. But when you connect to the people that are like, I don't want to say tastemakers, but people who are working for blogs, media, have their own channels, have big followings. If you're connecting with those people, those are the right people that you want to sway in your direction.
Yeah. No, I you mentioned my wife earlier. Like I do have this kind of like wife test when it comes to like sneaker momentum. Like if my wife was not really even into sneakers at all, like she doesn't really keep up with the news or whatever. If she comes to me and she's like, hey, can you maybe get me these shoes? I know, like, okay, there's definitely some hype. There's some momentum behind it. And she asked me, she's like, I need these Speedcats. So the Speedcat definitely has just a lot of momentum right now. I see it everywhere. I see it all over TikTok. And just the brand itself, Puma, I was watching the Formula One series on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And I noticed every single episode opened up with presented by Puma and showing also like a little short clip about the history of Puma and Formula One.
Wait, really?
Yeah, really, on Netflix. Like every single episode opens with that.
How did I miss that? I watched the whole season.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, so then maybe you have the premium version of Netflix where you don't see like the... I get ads on Netflix now.
No. I don't have the Pavo.
This guy is rich, man.
I don't have the Pavo Netflix, man. I've got that premium.
This guy's flexing his Netflix premium over here. No. Okay. I'm getting ads on Netflix now.
Yeah, I mean, Puma has always been very big into motorsports. So
yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I feel like I see all these ads all over the city for Puma. They're just very visible right now. So, yeah, I think they deserve, momentum-wise, I think they deserve the number one spot right now for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Big ups to the team in Herzogenaurach for the work they've been doing. Puma, top of our rankings. We will go through the rankings again just so that you don't forget. Number five, we got Nike. Number four, we have Adidas. Number three, we have New Balance. Number two, we have Jordan Brand as a standalone brand. And as you just heard, number one is Puma. But you might be asking yourselves, what about all the other brands? Well, we have some just missed out / honorable mentions that we are just going to fly through. So maybe, I don't know, Josh, you want to take us through the first?
Yeah, I mean, ASICS, you know, ASICS has had a lot of momentum last year, but this year I feel like there's just been pretty quiet, I would say, the first quarter of the year. The only release that really caught my eye were those Kiko Gel Nimbus 10.1, I believe. Those are some really nice colorways there. I'm excited actually about an upcoming collab next month with Nanushka.
Ooh, that one looks nice.
Those look super, super nice. Yeah. But I'm sure like the momentum will come back in the next period of the year, because just first quarter they've been kind of quiet. So I don't think they should be in the top five right now. So we'll keep it at that. But nothing against them. It's just been kind of a quiet quarter for them.
Facts. And then jumping from ASICS, you have Salomon, right, which is another brand that a lot of people are wearing. And I see this brand more and more on TikTok. And actually, it's funny. The mainstream media and mainstream creators are like, oh, you know, the XT6 is such a cool shoe, blah, blah, blah. And like, I feel like this is going to be I think the XT6 is going to be a big women's shoe this year on TikTok. But as we all know, 2-3 years ago was when the hype really started for the XT6. Even longer, actually.
Ago. Yeah, I would say earlier.
Maybe more like 2018, 2019. But yeah, Salomon, I don't know. Like, when was the last time they had a collab that really hit, really brought energy to the brand? And that's why I think that it's a brand that is kind of treading water at the moment. It really needs something big to happen to even get anywhere close to the top five, because right now it is not really close.
Yeah, I would say it missed. I don't know about honorable mention. It kind of missed out by quite a bit, I would say. Then we have On, the Swiss brand, who definitely had a lot of great shoes coming out last year, and a lot of sneaker blogs who I never see mentioning On were now mentioning On. Mm-hmm. They also had some celebrities, some big high-profile celebrities, such as Zendaya, rocking their sneakers. This quarter, definitely the post-archive faction collab had just dropped, and I managed to actually scoop that Cloud Monster 2, the brown pair, which should be coming in next week. I'm looking forward to that one. But yeah, that was outside of the PAF collab. There wasn't really anything else too crazy in terms of, I don't know, sneakers that really made some noise on the blog. So for that reason, I feel like, I don't think they deserve the top five right now.
Yeah, they've been very, very quiet. They're still a little bit too niche for me. So definitely agree with you there. And then, taking it to our next contender for just missed out, honorable mentions, Saucony. We've talked about them a lot on the pod. I've talked about them a lot with Amadeus on Oshu, and you've probably talked about them a lot in some of your videos online. And yeah, I mean, you know, the J-Tip stuff is hot, right? Like, it's really cool. People are liking it. There is more energy behind Saucony than ever before, I would say. But is it enough? Mm. I don't know. It's very similar to On, right? There's just not enough happening at the moment to warrant being in above any of the five brands that we have in our top five.
Yeah, right. I mean, I feel like we only keep hearing about all the different J-Tips pairs from them, but outside of that, they're not making too much noise for right now. But yeah, I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to trying out some of those pairs for myself, because I haven't yet. But yeah, I mean, that pretty much rounds out the just missed out / honorable mention. I'm just going to quickly run through some upcoming collabs before our next episode next month, because it definitely seems like there's some great stuff dropping in the next few weeks. We have the Nanushka collab, which I just mentioned, with ASICS on the Gel Kinetic Fluent, dropping on March 25th. On March 26th, as you guys know, Air Max Day. The biggest drop this year seems to be the Nike Air Max 1 Poly. Big Head Origins is the name of the shoe, and that will be dropping on March 26th. We have also on the 27th, the Stone Island New Balance 998. We were talking about New Balance just keeps doing their thing, and I actually really like this shoe because it features that that trademark material of Stone Island, which I'm forgetting the name right now. I know it starts with an R. But yeah, you see those materials on the shoe, and it's a nice, clean colorway. And then moving into the month of April, we have the Ama Maniers. Actually, that's not in April. That's on March 29th. We have the Ama Manier Air Max 95 Hand Wash Cold. So this is like a more muted colorway that should be dropping very, very soon. Also to round off Air Max month. And then moving into April, so in terms of like heat releases, I would say like we mentioned the Puma Speed Cats, the ballet versions of those shoes will be dropping finally in the US. They've dropped already in Europe and they've been selling out pretty much instantly. And looking into the rest of the month, I would say the highest heat release, well, those two. On April the 3rd, there's the Yuto Haragomi Nike SBs.
His second pair, right?
His second pair, the matcha colorway. Very, very Japanese with the colorway there. And I, of course, I missed out on the first one. I'm definitely going to try to get the second pair. And then also in April, I don't know exactly the date, but we're going to see another Cortez Air Max 95, the yellow, the tour yellows, I believe they're called. It's just simple black and yellow pair. A lot of speculation that this might be like a Brazil exclusive. I hope not.
I don't see that. Like, why? Like, it would be pretty crazy and cool for it to be Brazil exclusive. Yeah. But I don't see it.
Yeah, but that's pretty much like what has been on my radar for the month. And yeah, guys, thanks a lot for sticking with us for this episode. Let us know in the comments if you enjoyed this visual episode. We got the visuals this time and we'll try to continue that for the rest of the year. I definitely enjoyed, you know, being in the booth with you, Fobs, and talking sneakers, our favorite thing to do. And yeah, also shout out this this podcast studio in Berlin. It's cool that we were able to find one so easily.
Facts. Yeah, I know. It's been fun. Let us know what you guys think. Let us know what it feels like to see us whilst you're listening to us. And I think next time we're definitely going to have some sound effects for you guys.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Let's play around
die
with these.
Die Panne des Monats.
Whoa, okay, no.
Wait, okay, press another one.
Let me press another one.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay.
Übergeschichte, der History Podcast mit
Karl. Okay, so we don't know what's going on here. How do I stop these?
All right, well, there you have it, guys. Thanks for listening, and see you guys next time. Peace.
Peace. The sound effects are still going.
Those kind of waves.